We're going to do things a little bit differently today. Instead of reading a passage and then talking about it, I'm just going to read through a passage here. And as we read through it, I'm going to make some comments. We're going to talk about the interaction between Jesus and one of his disciples named Thomas, the one that we call sometimes Doubting Thomas. And we'll see if that is a correct statement or not as we go through it, by the way. And so you recall that the evening of the day when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, Jesus appeared to his disciples. And Luke records that Jesus came and stood in their midst. Well, we know that there were 10 disciples there. There may have been other people there, but we know that out of the disciples there were 10. Judas was obviously not there. And one of them was missing. And that man was Thomas. Now, while Jesus was there, he gave the disciples some convincing proofs. He said, "Touch me and see me. Put your hands into the imprints of the nails." He actually ate in front of them. So basically, he proved to his disciples that he was real. And so we pick up in John chapter 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So he was missing. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." You can imagine their excitement, their zeal, their desire to tell their buddy, "Look, we have seen the Lord. Our Lord was dead, we thought, but he is alive." Look at Thomas's response. His response is that of a very rational, very logical man. He says, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." So what's he saying here? He is saying, this is impossible. He's also saying, "I'm not denying that you guys saw something or someone. Obviously you did. If the 10 of you are telling me that you saw something or someone, you must have seen something. But it must have not been the Lord." In other words, he is asking for proof. And the two proofs that he wants to make sure that it was the Lord is he wants to see the imprints of the nails in his hands and also the imprint of the spear into his side. In other words, he is a logical, rational man. We pick it up in verse 26. Roughly a week later, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." You can imagine Thomas's amazement when he actually sees the Lord. He's like, "Wow, I can't believe they were actually right. I think they were right." Especially when Jesus addresses him. Here in verse 27, we read, "Then he," Jesus, "said to Thomas, 'Reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it in my side.'" So you see, Jesus addressed two of his concerns without Thomas asking him. This echoes the incident when Nathanael was told by Philip that they had found the Messiah back in during the time when Jesus was starting out his earthly ministry. You recall that Nathanael was told by Philip, Philip said, we found him of whom Moses and the prophets and the Psalms have prophesied, and he came out of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, "Can something good come out of Nazareth?" Later on, Jesus met Nathanael, and he made some statements that no one could have made unless they have been with Nathanael at that particular time. And so Nathanael knew that there was a supernatural being. In fact, he said, "My Lord and my God." And so this incident here, it kind of echoes that. You see, Thomas did not ask Jesus to show him his hands or show him his side. And yet Jesus turns to Thomas and says, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands and reach here and put it into my side." So he addressed two of his concerns. And then he says, "Do not be unbelieving, but be believing." What does that mean? Well, in the context here, we can sort of understand that, well, Jesus meant we should have believed your buddies here. There's 10 of them telling you that I rose from the dead and you didn't believe them. Well, we can look at verse 25 here and say that, especially considering the fact that it says here the disciples have been telling him we have seen the Lord and Thomas did not believe. But I think it goes a lot deeper than that. It's a lot more profound than that. What he's saying here, "Do not be unbelieving, but believing," is believe in me. Believe in God. Believe what God tells about himself and about me, Jesus, in his word. To get a clearer picture of this, we need to go back in time 1 week when Jesus appeared to disciples the first time that evening when Thomas was not there. And Luke in chapter 24 describes that in greater detail. And I'll read a few verses here. And as we read, we'll make a few comments. So Luke chapter 24, we'll start with verse 36. While they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." How are they different from Thomas? They're not. They thought, just like Thomas, that Jesus Christ was not alive. And he said the same thing. He said, "Touch me and see. Here are some proofs," basically, is what he said. And then we keep going in verse 40 of Luke 24. "And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet." Same thing he did to Thomas. "While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, 'Have you anything to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them." So you see, the disciples actually had more proof than Thomas. So this expression, "doubting Thomas," is obviously not biblically correct, because he didn't have as much proof as the rest of the disciples did. And so anyway, we keep going here in verse 44. "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you.'" In other words, I told you, remember? And so when he says here back in John 20, when he says, "Do not be unbelieving, but be believing," as he says, "Believe in me, believe what I have told you." We keep reading here in verse 44. "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Don't be unbelieving, but be believing. Believe in me, says Christ. Believe in the scriptures. Believe in God's holy word. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Believe in God. Believe in what he reveals to us about himself in his words. I also have a feeling that when the disciples were trying to convince Thomas that Jesus Christ was alive from the dead, they probably tried to give him an example of scripture from the Old Testament here and there. But that's just my sanctified imagination. All right, so let's go back to John 20, and we'll pick it up here where we left off. We'll read verse 27 again. "Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing.'" Now, Thomas's response, I love Thomas's response. It's the only possible response that one could have after experiencing what Thomas experienced. Thomas's two arguments were addressed. He saw the imprints of the nails in Jesus' hands, and he saw Jesus' side where the spear went in. Here's Jesus in front of Thomas, alive from the dead. And so the only possible thing Thomas can say, verse 28, "Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" 29, "Jesus said to him, 'Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed.'" So here's Thomas again. His logic, his understanding, his whole being tells him that Jesus died. Thomas is saying to himself, "I saw Jesus die. I saw him hang on the cross. I saw him crucified. I heard him say, 'Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.' I saw him being laid in a tomb." And yet here's Jesus in front of him, victorious over death. And so Jesus says, "Do not be unbelieving, but be believing. Believe in God, believe in his word, believe in Jesus Christ." Yesterday we heard a sermon in, I think it was John 14, when Christ says, "Believe in God, believe in me also." And here we are. How can we apply this to us? Here we are in the 21st century. We're a bunch of geniuses running around, overeducated, technologically advanced. Now, we're not denying Christ. People are not denying Christ. But they have to rationally figure out what exactly happened to him. Now, Mormons, they say that Christ arose in spirit only. They try to rationalize it that way. Jehovah's Witnesses say there is no such thing as resurrection. Science says it's scientifically impossible. Our logic, our understanding, our rationale says dead is dead. But the Word of God says Jesus Christ is alive, and he's also alive in our hearts. And so, believe in the Word of God. And I also want to close up with a passage from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. I'm sure most of you know where I'm going with this. Peter describes his experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, and then he says, guess what? The Word of God is more sure, more reliable than my own eyes. And so here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll read 4 verses here, 16 through 19. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They saw it with their own eyes, is what Peter is saying. For when he, Jesus, received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. In other words, Peter saw Christ, Christ's glory unveiled. He heard God speak. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And look at verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention to as to a lamp shining in a dark place. In other words, the word of God is more sure than our own eyes and their own ears. May the Lord bless his word in our heart. Amen.